Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mountain Deer Podcast. My name's Rodney Elmer. I'm here with Taylor Elmer, and we are now post-hunt stock.
Yeah.
Like the greatest, giantest deer camp of all.
Yeah, it was like New England deer camp.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good.
I had a blast. Yeah. Thanks to Pat and everybody who worked so hard to put it together. We had an absolute fun time.
Yeah.
Got to meet so many people that we've been watching for forever.
Oh, yeah. Plus, like, people traveled so far to get there. You know, people from West Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
They came a long ways. And I want to thank you all for coming. It was just fantastic. I've probably never been so deer storied out in 4 days of it. Because we were there for, you know, a good part of the Thursday before setting up and stuff. So It was awesome. We really enjoyed ourselves. And it was so nice to meet everybody. And especially, like, you know, people we've seen before, but also too people we hadn't seen before. Yep. And a lot of people who are subscribers and stuff we met, and it was just wonderful. The focus was so much not on deer, and it was so much about each other. It was like going to deer camp, and you kind of ignored the deer mounts on the wall, and all you cared about was talking to everybody.
It was almost like a big, like, friend hunter convention. Like, no one really, you weren't there to talk about deer itself. Like, you weren't, like, some of the stuff that people had, you're like, you know, whatever. But you a chance to be like, hey, you know, what did you do in this, and what have you guys got going on? And there were so many seminars, like Lanny did them, and Timmy and Hal and Joe, and, you know, all the Just Hunt guys, the Northwoods Whitetails guys, you know, Jeff Doyle was there, his Stagger. Dad was there, Stagger, everybody was there, you know.
It's great.
And all the other people that I've failed to mention right here, but we had an absolute blast rubbing elbows and joking and playing around. And Fred, our buddy who has the new outdoor app
the
Outdoor Gazette OG. He's putting together an app just for outdoors people, and that's coming along, and that's pretty cool. And he was there, and, you know, Sig Sauer was there, Ruger was there. I talked to some of the guys from the Ruger's engineering team, and I was like, hey,
they're like paddle stalls.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I have a couple guns I want you to start making. They're like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, a lot of great artists.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job. I know you don't like it when I compliment you like that, but some of the seminars, some of the questions, some of the stuff, I was just listening to, like, Joe DiNito. Joe DiNito does such a fantastic job anytime he speaks. I learned a lot there.
Yeah, there was a ton of people who did, like, you know, wildlife art. Either in painting. Also, like, had cribbage boards out of moose sheds and
some
stuff
cool
like that.
Stuff.
Knives and dog handlers.
The blood track. There was a deer track and blood dog. What's that guy's name?
Yep.
He was at he does events all over the place. He's such a nice guy. Yep. It's skipping my mind right now, but we
had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun.
The archery shoot was really good. Mm. There was a ton of people that went to the gutting a deer out seminar, you know, where it's hands on kind of thing. That was just wonderful.
They gave away hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of, like, gear.
Oh yeah,
raffled off stuff, and
a whole bunch of door prizes that were $400 or $500 value kind of things that were just phenomenal.
Yep.
It was really good.
We had a blast.
We all signed a moose horn or two, so that was awesome.
Raising money.
Yeah, it was just, what a great time. They even gave away quite a few hunts. Onyx was a wonderful sponsor too, so the whole thing was great, and everyone got a chance to really get up close and personal and talk to everybody. And even in the evening, when we were all having our our pulled pork and venison out in the parking lot, in the dark out there, you know, sitting on the cooler,
mosquitoes,
right? Swatting it and laughing and joking and just, you know, what a wonderful time. And we did a couple of podcasts and then two, three seminars. So, three or four seminars.
Yeah,
so, like, it was really good. It was nonstop for the $40 value that, you know, you paid to get in for the day. You could literally, like, you couldn't take it all in, and it was nothing but nonstop.
It
great
was
time.
It definitely underpriced, way underpriced. So worth going.
The
it
value.
Was the $40 is like nothing compared to, like, it was just, you had the entire New England and some of, like, the Western kind of, the amount of experience, the amount of these hunters who've hunted everywhere. like the level of experience, the years of deer hunting experience and knowledge that you got compressed into a weekend was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They, Pat did such a good job putting this, his team, everybody, they worked hard on it, and we're looking forward to next year. We are going for sure.
We had such a great time, and it was hard to leave the show to get back to the hotel room at the evening because, you know, everyone was just, we just had such a great time.
And I really did.
Want to encourage everyone to go there next year. That's for sure. And I think it'll get bigger and better over time.
For sure.
And it's a different feeling. It's not like this was deer hunting. You know,
only deer hunting too.
Yeah, it was really, it was great.
That was the focus.
Oh yeah. Even though, if it branched off into moose or bear or anything like that, it would definitely be interesting.
That'd be cool.
I'd like to see, people I'd like to see go to it. Randy Flannery. I'd love to see him there. Mm-hmm. Definitely, people from the Northeast, you know, this was a great showing of like all of the Northeast.
Yep.
It was really good. And even if you're not from around here, like our style and what we do will apply everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was so good.
It will. And it, we had a chance to cover some pretty good, topics. You put together some seminars and stuff. We did one about bare ground grind. So basically like how to really make the most out of the early part of the season when you don't typically have a lot of snow. We did that one. We did the clear cut philosophy, basically like how to work a clear cut and take the most advantage of like transitional wood types and different successional forest wood types, and where like you know, where all the different types of woods all come together. And basically that's more of like a main kind of thing, mm-hmm. but also how to, like, if you have one open spot with a lot of dense cover, and you know, just talking about working those different forest types and transitions on that seminar. That was fantastic. And the calling, that was one that we had posted on the YouTube channel just recently, and it's been a pretty good response. You guys really seem to like that one.
Yeah, when to call in the track, when not to call in the track.
How to bring a buck in, and what some actual stories and experiences that went with calling a buck and getting him to come at you either aggressively or not, or, you know, how to work a doe, when not to call, and, you know, some of the things that we've learned over the last, you know, forever.
Right. Well,
those were all too, great seminars.
You know, and there was lots of people that kicked in their two cents, and that was really great too. The other part of the bare ground grind thing was like new ground grind, right? Where you go into a new area that's totally new to you, and where would you go first? How would you go about walking a mountain? So we took all kinds of shots of like aerial shots with the drone that were in areas where we hunt, but we also did it like in areas where we'd like to go maybe.
Yep.
And I almost think if we go to any new areas this year, we are going to take some big, huge shots of the terrain and whatnot. And I'm going to put some X's on the map, and then we'll walk out there and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And we want to do that. You know, we're assessing a mountain from the road, picking out where we think it is. We're assessing it like on Onyx or maps or something where you're looking at satellite, and we assess it that way, and we draw a few lines and then go out there and see what's really on the ground in a brand new area and try it brand new.
Kind of that putting that like e-scouting, you know, with eyes on the actual terrain, and then like what you think is going to happen, and then going there and seeing if there actually was a deer in that spot, or what the sign is. And, you know, we want to do a couple videos this season where we literally show you how to do it, then go do it and show you what results are produced. Mm-hmm. You know, more like an actual, like, we're going to walk you through the entire process of how to hunt a place you've never hunted and pick it by some kind of like really good scouting logic. So we're gonna put that together.
In the whole overlapping of patterns, right? You pattern the people, you pattern the terrain, you pattern the woods type,
weather.
You pattern the deer, you pattern the weather, and now we take all of those patterns and overlay them on the same map and find those key spots, key locations, key timing, so that your weather timing, your wind timing, your deer on their feet timing, all of that just like suddenly comes together, and it allows you to just be able to process lots of terrain pretty quickly, picking out the best and knowing what's good, what isn't, and that kind of stuff. And like, it's such a shortcut. One of the things that I did talk quite a bit about, and William Altman and I talked about it quite a bit, was like this telescoping effect that all of this does. You go to all these seminars. You gather everyone's information, whether you're reading it, whether you're watching it on YouTube, whether you're out there experiencing it, whether you're listening to your grandfather and his stories, other hunters and their bad experiences, sometimes your good experiences,
their mistakes.
You get this telescoping effect of the knowledge and the speed at which you can, like, all of a sudden start producing bugs, right? You can start producing in a short while really good results, because not only do you refine everyone else's hard work, but you also refine what works for you.
Yeah.
And now, not only, you know, because what one guy does and what another guy does ain't always the same, and the productivity of it may not be the same. You may not be able to walk as far. You may not be able to go up as steep a thing, or you may not have as much time to hunt. But, like, you'll be able to figure out with what works for you the best, and then make whatever system that you can make for you work. And there's this telescoping effect of the speed at which everyone's really going to figure this out. And the other thing was, like, why you're doing it. Right. And if you're doing it for the results of the deer, that'll produce a certain thing. If you're doing it for the results of the experience, this is how you get there, right? You could learn all these different factors that come into your hunting and come into your life. And it's such a good thing to get right to what you really want.
Yep.
And also too, if you're stumbling or having trouble with it, which is the main purpose of all this how-to stuff, is just to help you with some of the struggles that you have as you do it. This is, like, super telescoping effect.
Right, or to keep you from having those struggles. Like,
right.
Just, like, don't
step
in that
hole. You won't even go there. Plus,
right.
Like, when you have different experts answer the same question in different ways, and they all came about fixing the same problem, but in a different method,
right.
It helps you figure out what's going to work for you and fix whatever you got going on.
Yep.
And, like, man, I can't hit them. I jump them and I never see them first. I just can't spot them. All of that stuff. When you ask all these different guys and you get all of their routines and what they do to solve their problems, it is such a good thing, and it doesn't take long at all. And you start connecting with all of them. And that's what this yep. was. This was like a giant, not only connection of personalities and people and what you like about them, but it was also like a connecting of their knowledge to whatever works for you. And the takeaway was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was just phenomenal.
I had such a good time.
You could come out with so many things.
And it's so, like, if you have all these different people kind of half saying the same thing, but in a different way, it's going to connect with some people. And sometimes somebody has to phrase something in a certain way for it to really connect with me that it might not connect with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And having so many different personalities give their own perspective on the same thing, like, just gets everyone on the same page so much easier, you know?
Yeah,
it was great. We had a great time. And one of the things that we got was, we got a ton of people who didn't have a chance to get to hunt stock. There was a ton of that. And a lot of people were kind of bummed that they weren't going to have an opportunity to be present for some of the seminars that you were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that, you know, we haven't talked about that much, and, you know, really taking all the things that people have been struggling with in the last, like, 5-6 years with the November normal, and how to take advantage of that, and how to actually pull a big buck on bare ground or on snow or in a small parcel or in a big tract of land. And, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were really bummed about that. So one of the things that we did after Huntstock was, we're like, you know what, we're going to hold something at the shop.
Yeah.
And it would be fun to take all of the stuff that we talked about at Huntstock, expand on them, and add in a bunch of stuff. So one of the things that we recently just decided, like a week ago or so, was we were going to hold a half day seminar here at the shop.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've done it.
2019.
Everyone's pre-COVID. Asking. Yeah. Everyone's asking, and we want to do it. Like, and also too, there's a whole bunch of in-depth stuff that I just haven't got to that I want to.
Yeah.
And I know people would enjoy. There's also a whole bunch of video that what we took last year that we haven't showed anybody yet. So we're gonna have a whole bunch of videos at this upcoming seminar that nobody's seen yet. And you guys, if you come to the seminar, you'll get to be the first ones.
Yep.
The other thing too is we want to plan a little bit more around everyone else's hunting seasons, right? We're trying to plan around you being able to get out there and do it a little bit better, have a little more fun, enjoy yeah. yourself a little bit more. And we're trying yeah. to get with that. And there's a lot of things that we haven't talked about yet that we've got to, and yeah. and that will really add something. Like there's some philosophy thoughts that matter a little bit there, especially like when that, one of the things about the clear cut thing, it was 45 minutes that seminar I did there. Yeah. And I didn't even begin to get into some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
There's only so much, you know, there was only so much that you could do in the allotted time. Cause there were so many different seminars and the schedule was so kind of hectic for the amount of speaking. And, you know, like, you would have one guy doing a seminar and then another guy doing a seminar at the exact same time. So you'd have to like pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who wanted to hear this guy speak and didn't get a chance to come over here, or our tent was full. And, you know, so we decided, we're like, we're going to take on all the stuff that we did. We're going to expand it. We're going to really dive into nuance. We're going to cover the stuff we didn't get to cover. We're going to show some videos, add some more context to this whole thing. It's going to be kick.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have such a good time.
The other fantastic thing that we have not done before is to do a live podcast on stage with an audience, and then also to like have them be able to answer questions, ask questions. And like one of the beauties about video is you get to see everything.
Yeah.
One of the beauties about podcast is that you get to hear everything. You have time enough to talk about certain things and really get through it all. And I think our podcast with Timmy Bulldog, that went by in about 15 seconds.
Oh my God. Like, he is so cool too.
And he's like, man, that felt like 15 minutes. And we were up there for almost an hour. And
yeah,
like I can't believe that. Ones. And we didn't even begin to get into it. And I'm like, no, I know, dude, right? But one of the things about Huntstock that I think is really great was the live podcast in front of everybody, because you could really talk about everything. Everybody could hear it. But also, too, you could get the crowd, you know, asking questions,
involved
in it all. Mm-hmm. And later on, not only can you video it and be, you know, re-show it later, but you can also podcast it and everyone can hear it when they want, how they want, and digest it the way they want. Yeah. And to be able to stop and start. Our lives are so busy that one of the things about a podcast is you can download it and then just stop and start it until you get through it all. You're in the frame of mind to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, and
you can multitask. You don't have to like watch it in order to get the info.
Right. I can be riding down the road and I turn on a podcast and I'm listening to stuff
for
working in the shop or whatever. Yeah. It's just wonderful. Yep. And it's a new way of doing it on stage too, which is even better. And
I had a blast.
It was just fantastic. And I think we'll be definitely doing more of that in the future here.
Yeah. So I think we decided on a date. We're going to do September 16th. So as you guys are hearing this right now, the tickets are going on sale for that right now. We're only going to have 50 spots because we want to be able to really get into what you guys have going on and to be able to help you in your specific situation, answer your questions, and really kind of keep this in, you know, what's going to make the most amount of impact on your deer season. There's only 50 spots. If the demand is super high and we sell out real quick, which I imagine we're going to, we may hold another one in October, but it's going to be half day, noon to six. We're going to feed you guys. We're going to be some light refreshments and whatnot. And then we're going to put together a real kick-ass evening and afternoon for you guys. So we have that going on. So if you guys want to check out some more information on that, what we're going to be talking about, what's going on, what kind of we're going to hold it here in Mountain Deer. So we're going to hold it here at the shop.
Yep.
And September 16th.
We'll have video that we filmed last year and stuff that we haven't seen, nobody's seen before. So some of that will be really interesting.
Cocoa Puff is going to,
we'll
see if we can get Cocoa Puff here.
We'll have Keith's Vermont hunt and the buck that he shot this last season.
Yep.
So we saved a bunch of stuff for you guys, and we wanted to have some good stuff to come on and get started for this year, and some inspiration to get out there and hammer it. And, maybe Maine will write us a check for bringing so many hunters to Maine.
Or not. We're going to get death threats from the locals.
Right, it'd be one or the other. Right.
Yeah, but we're excited to see you guys. We can't wait. Mark your calendars. Information down below and on mountaindeer.com and all that. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, check out the description. But we had a fantastic time. We're looking forward to Huntstock 24. That's going to be great next year. And all that content from Huntstock, they recorded the whole thing. So they're busting it up. We recorded it. We have another couple seminars coming out from that we recorded. The two podcasts, we did one with Hal. You and I did one with Hal and Joe Cruzy.
Yep.
That one's going to be coming out. So we've got all that stuff in the queue. So this is going to be a really packed deer season. We're going to do our best to really kind of put it out there for you guys. It's gonna be fun.
Give her some.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And mix it up too. And that's kind of the other thing that I wanted to do is mix it up. And,
yeah,
and we like doing stuff that nobody else is doing.
Let's do something different.
Yeah, and do stuff that nobody else is doing. We had a great time with the Just Hunt guys.
Yep, good crew.
Just Hunt Club is just awesome. They've killed some bucks in New Hampshire. My God, Oh, there's some beautiful, beautiful deer. You know, and everyone has. And the shop is just full of racks like never before. You know, big wide beauties, and just, you know, we're expecting to, if we can, get in a few podcasts with some experts, at least local ones. I'd like to get Nick Fortin, the deer biologist, and we're setting something up with him as we speak. Yep. And
we got another couple more hunting personalities. Some other guys that you probably follow and you watch are going to get on here with us, and we're going to talk deer hunting and talk deer stories and philosophy and stuff like that, and see if we can help you guys put a big one in the back of your truck this year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, all of it, and hope you're out there enjoying yourself. And that's the main deal is just go out there and have the best possible time. And who knows how many more deer seasons you got left? So
I
get out there and give.
Yeah, So I was talking to a guy. He does what we do, so he makes videos. I think he actually does, like, it's all year round for them. They hunt all the time, and this is the first time I had met him. And him and I kind of related on something where it was like as soon as you start like making hunting your job, where you're filming it and you're doing all that, there's like an unbelievable amount of pressure. And there's a ton of pressure for like the regular hunter just in general in like the day and age of the internet to shoot a big one all the time. And it's one of those things that like you hear people talk about all the time is like, got to shoot a big one. And it's like this, like, they almost, you know, it was interesting. You got to hear a lot of stories, and like you think you're going through something, and it's like, no, that's every hunter out there. And you know, there's a lot of stuff. There's so many things to talk about that hunting never gets to. A lot of podcasts never really get to some of the meat and potatoes of what the everyday hunter goes through beyond the actual hunting itself. You know, and we had so many good, just real deep quality conversations. I had such a good time. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
And you heard some people, you guys have done some stuff. You've gone through some unbelievable things in your lives, and you shot some incredible deer. And these young kids, never seen so many young kids coming up to the booth, excited, all shy to meet us and stuff. Oh my God. I was so cool.
It's wonderful.
It's great when you have like your peers or older guys come up to you and you're like, I love your videos and stuff. But it's something a little bit more special when a 5-year-old comes up and he's got your hat on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's wearing the Mountain Deer hat and it's like, oh, it's a lucky hat. And he's like, you know, I want you to sign it and stuff. And it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, I definitely don't deserve to be signing your hat. But, you know, and you can, it's so cool that, you know, we can all have such a profound effect on each other just by hunting and just by sharing stories and stuff. And you know, it was unbelievably humbling to do it. And we're so glad that you guys are having such a good experience. And if there's anything that we can do for you to help you shoot a big one, we want to do that. And that's why we really want to do more of these events, because Huntstock kind of like, it rejuvenated everybody's like expectations for deer season. Like, I'm more stoked for, you know, maybe I say that every year, but I'm like more excited for deer season this year. I think because of that, because you had something that it's not just like, oh, the build up and then going to camp. Yeah. You know? And I love that too, but it was fun to have those pre-deer season conversation as opposed to like post. Cause a lot of the shows and stuff that we do is all like January, February, you know, and that's fun. Cause we're all kind of like coming down off of deer season, but leading up to it, it's like, it's almost a little better that we're all like, you know, jazzing each other up, getting ready to go do it, and you know, sharing some stuff, and you feel like you have a little bit more ammo in your belt, and you want to try some new stuff, and you want to, like, you're a little bit more inspired.
Yeah,
you know, that it was great. And we're gonna have such a blast. We want to do more of this working with you guys, like in person kind of stuff, because we just enjoy the conversations and the sharing.
Even though, like, how to will just, you can do how to death
to your
like blood. and so many times, you know, you can overanalyze everything, and then you're paralyzed because you've
got too much info. Too much,
right? That's one of Hal's favorites, right?
Yeah.
You know, but also too, it's key that you're enjoying yourself, And every now and then you have to consider why, and you have to consider how you go about enjoying yourself and what you like the most. And for the 4 days straight, all I heard about was camaraderie, right? Just like, we just love you guys because of your camaraderie. And Lanny's sitting on a cooler with me, right? And he says, you know, I like
that was
your,
so much fun.
I like your stuff, he says, but I got to tell you, I miss my dad.
Yeah.
Right? And there's so many people who are lonely and want someone to hunt with, and and we're so glad that we can take you along. We'd love to have everybody come to camp, but we can't do that, right? So we do our best, and we carry the stuff with us, and we talk about it with you, and we share all of our thoughts with you, and truthfully, you know, we enjoy all your stories and stuff, and it's just the back and forth between everyone and us is just so fantastic. And try not to get too big ahead about things, you know, and that's never really kind of been our deal. And we're not all about commercialization and trying to make $1 million or something, because we don't care about that. We want you guys to just, you know, we want to share what back and give back to something that's given so much to us. And that's basically what we're doing. And, you know, we're not commercialized. We ain't never really been.
We're pretty amateur.
Right.
It's nothing professional.
This isn't something that we think we're going to make $1 zillion at. We'd love to at least cover our cost of doing it. And, and a lot of it really doesn't cover anything. So, you know, we may charge a little bit for our seminar or something, but you know, basically that's it. And, you know, we appreciate you guys buying our stuff and supporting the channel and supporting what we do.
Helping
and
us make this stuff.
We want to make that inspirational. We want to get you fired up, get you out there and have you have a good time and be able to enjoy yourselves. And that is what we took away from, especially those 4 days down there. It's just, it was so, you guys were so welcoming to it all. And we're so happy that you like it. And we also, we had a bunch of people who don't even hunt at all and they've watched our stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, I see why you do it.
Yeah.
I would never shoot a deer. But I get it, right? And that was the main point of a lot of what we did, and to make, like, to show some social and some good value to it. And that's what we hope to do more in the future. And we hope to encourage more people to do it themselves, right? To be able to show the real value of what the deer can do for it's, you more that, than what, you know.
That was a conversation I actually had a ton. Talking to other creators, other, you know, regular people who were like thinking about starting to make like videos and stuff. And that was one of the things I said to them. I said, one of the things that always kind of bugged me, a little bit about, hunting videos and about like hunting shows and stuff like that was that it always like you had a big build up to the hunt and it was the hunt itself. And then they, you know, they get the animal they're after and it's And then like they always like cut
Sever it.
They always cut the story off. Like when, you know, they've got the deer there and they're like, what a great day. And then, you know, big pan out shot and then that's it. And that was always the thing that kind of drove me nuts. Because I was like, well,
it's hard to share that.
What was the impact of it on you after? Because that's one of the things, like we don't necessarily hunt to get the deer. We hunt for like how it affects us and how it impacts us moving forward afterward. And that's one of the things I would tell people. I was like, you know, because we'd have our little TV going with some of our hunts or whatever. And I'd go down to the bottom and I'd stop the video like on like grunt buck or something, like when we got the deer. And I would like press pause as soon as the deer was shot. And I'd be like, there's still 2/3 of this video left.
Right.
Right. And like one of the things I tell people is like, if you're going to go out and you're going to hunt and you're going to, you know, if you want to have an impact on the world and you want to, like, you'd have, you know, we had all these conversations about like what hunting looks like to the public and the future of hunting and putting out a good philosophy and all this other stuff. I was like, well, then don't end the story at the deer. End it afterward.
Because there's a lot of gold after.
When you bring it home, when you're at the weigh station, when you're sitting around eating some of the meat, when you're that night cutting the tenderloins out or you're watching the video from the day and you're all freaking out, bringing it home to your dad or your mom or whatever, like bring those stories and bring that into your content. Because I think that's one of the reasons why people kind of like what we do is because like we don't stop. Like the day, as soon as we get up, we press record. And as soon as we go to bed, we press pause. Like we stop it. And like we put that in the story. And that was like, well, let's show more of what it's like to be a hunter and how this impacts you. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we've always tried to do in our videos. And that's what we've always tried to, you know, show people is there's a lot more to hunting than just like going to get the animal and then you got the animal and that's it. And, you know, that's why a lot of people who don't hunt can kind of appreciate what we do is because they're like, they get to see, you know, how our group is, how excited we are for each other and what it's like when we get one and what it means to us because they get to see how we are afterward. And it's not like I got him end story because it, you know, and it was like, all you show them is all they know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, take them farther on the journey. And that was one of the things that like, I really wanted to put into our videos because that's what's important to me. And of course I'm the one shooting and editing. So you're going to see the story I want to,
mm-hmm.
this, you're going to see how I feel about it through my edit. And that's why like the actual hunt is always kind of the smallest part and the getting the deer is kind of the smallest part. And it's mostly the experience of the hunting camp, you know, like being with your guys and you got your whole crew and you're out there doing your thing and having fun. And that's why we show that part in it, why it makes such a big piece of our like actual hunt videos and our regular little like vlogs and stuff we do is because that's what it's like for us, mm-hmm. you know? And that was something I really wanted to see more of some of the other people who make content. I was like, just please start showing some of the fun stuff you do, some of the stuff that's not hunting, because I think a lot of people can get behind that. And you could see that at Huntstock. You could see that people are like, we just keep going, you know, keep showing us and keep, you know, because everyone's, when it's 70 degrees out and everyone's like dragging their feet, you know, you want to show that and you want to bring that. So it's like, just make videos about that, just share that content, you know, and because that stuff keeps us going. And when you guys come back to us, that keeps us going. And, you know, that like loop that we know that we can kind of pick your spirits up and get you pumped for deer season, even if the weather's not so great. Mm-hmm. That's what we've always tried to do.
Yeah. The other things like content makers, as over time here, we'll start discussing more about like their methods and especially in editing, mm-hmm. and about filming. And of course, it'll always question why. And when you start putting those together with a little more thoughtful, let's start. I can't wait till this all starts turning into movies, right? Where it's about the feelings and the meaning of everything and the purpose of it and the grandeur of where you are and what you're doing. That's one of the things about drone shots. And we heard so much of everybody, like, we just love the drone, right? Yeah. Because it's a God's eye view and it sets you in this stage and you're in the story and you get to see yourself. And so we also...
And a super useful tool when you go to do seminars later is because like what you did was we actually used some of those drone shots and we're like, this is literally the landscape we hunted.
Here is
the spot. So we literally like... We get the drone up, we take a couple pictures or a couple clips and we like use that in our seminar and we're like, we went like this and this is what it's like. And like, you blew my brain out. And I think you should have seen it. Like we had like, I don't know, there was probably like 75 people in the tent and they're all sitting there listening to the dad do his bare ground grind thing. And as soon as you said exactly where you hunt, everyone went, their jaws all like drop because it's one of those things that everyone is like aloof
or aloof. Oh my god,
they're like, oh, I can't share my, it's such a big secret. And it's like, it's not, everybody knows where you hunt, it's just no one wants to say it out loud and everyone's so afraid of their spot getting taken. It's like, we don't care how we hunt and how we're so nonchalant, and it's like, we don't care, you know what I mean? So you told everyone you were hunting right there. I was like, oh my god, I laughed so hard because everyone was just stunned.
Classic dad, no one, right?
Classic dad, just stunning everybody. He just like, as soon as I think I've got him on like the path I need him on, he goes and takes a left turn and everyone goes, and you're like going down this rocky turn. It was awesome. I mean, it's such, and I don't think anyone, any like big hunter, I don't want to put you in some kind of category and make you all embarrassed or whatever, but no like kind of famous hunter or anyone who really like has ever just said exactly where they hunt and where they go all the time. This is literally where I hunt. This is where everybody hunts. This is the deal. Boom. And just literally says it. I don't think anyone does that. And that's one of the things I've always really admired about you. And I've tried to do that as I grow up, was not being super attached to a hunting spot just because, and not being like real competitive about hunting. And I think the world needs more of that. And that was a pretty big, inspiration that day. I think everyone was just shocked, completely shell shocked.
Well, it'll also go right. If you're if you're Hank Aaron or whatever, right, and you stand there and you point at the wall, right, and then you have to hit the home run, right? Yeah. It would be the greatest yay if you actually did it.
Yeah.
After pointing at the wall and then you whale the thing and you put it over the wall, like right, yeah. Right. So everybody's going to try that at least once. And that was kind of my plan for this year.
Yeah.
Right. I'd like to take a spot and then head for it.
Yeah.
Is that water still an issue?
I just want the video to stop recording. So,
you know, if we pick out a spot, something completely new, I want to look at it on satellite. Then I want to make some X's on it.
Yeah.
Then I want to look at it from the ground, you know, and just stand there and look at the whole works and finish my X's or whatever,
yeah,
and fine tune it all from there. Then walk up in there, do it during the season. Just walk up in there and then see if I can shoot one right on an X that I put right from all of my scouting to a place I'd never been before,
yep,
right? To step into an arena that is completely unknowns,
yep,
like nothing but unknowns. And you look at everything, you assess it, and you say here, and then you just go up there and then just bang, and that would be awesome.
Let's do that.
And if I'm off a little bit or things don't go that way, it doesn't matter, because I want to show where I walk, what I do, how I do it, how I went about this brand new, completely, you know, never been to arena before. And you assess what you have and you just make the most of it and you let it rip and see what you can do in a few days.
I think, you know, if you want to have an impact on people and you really want to like help others, you can't really keep any secrets about that kind of stuff anyway. And I think there's no point. All the secrets kept is just like, it doesn't help you at all.
There's no secrets.
Well, I mean like just trying to like, you know, trying to like hold information and all that. It's like that never helps anybody really. And it's not like they all have their own spot. Like no one's ready to like run down and grab your spot. And the only reason they're ahead is because you both have the same spot.
If they did and they managed, like, great. I could care less.
Pull a big one out and he'll come back. There'll be another one.
That's like, right. There's a big one. Even when people pull them out, there's still another one. Yeah. So like I come from a law of attraction kind of side of things and not so much from I don't have enough and there isn't enough in the world. I'm not going to come from that viewpoint, and I never have. And as soon as I dropped that viewpoint, I started killing big deer.
Oh yeah.
It was an instant, like if you want to fast track yourself to getting what you want, you have to come at it from that abundant side, and there's always enough, and it just wants to get to me, and they just want me to shoot them. So like if you had to think about a deer, if you think about they always run away and I never see them and all the bad side of it, and you're connected emotionally to that.
It just puts you in a frame of mind to suffer it when it does happen.
Yeah. And like you notice it twice as much.
You don't get to take advantage of things and at least have a better enjoyment of the process if you have a bad attitude about whatever's going on. Because even if that is what happens to you,
mm-hmm,
you don't have to suffer it. You can at least still have a good time. It's, you know, if I ran into this last season where I ran into a little bit of a internal conflict, right? So I'm like, I'm not about shooting a deer. Right, but I really wanted one, right?
And there was some big stuff.
And there was some big stuff. And I only had a couple days to the end of the season where I could actually get out there and I could hunt and just focus on me and just me go out there and do it. And I didn't realize how bad I wanted one until I got right up to the line where deer season was over. And I was like, man, I'm not 100% just about hunting. Yeah. I do want one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do. And I'm not going to deny that. You know, I am. I want a big one too. I have no problem shooting a smaller buck because I'll shoot a smaller buck. You know what I mean? But I wanted to track one down. I wanted to, you know, I wanted that. I want to at least get a good one and work him and have a chance at him, you know? And I think every now and then when you're hunting, you end up running into your why and you run into a lot of your philosophy, especially when you're tracking.
You run into your where as well.
You do. You run into yourself a lot, and you have an opportunity to actually like take a look at like why you hunt and why you share and what you're actually after, you know, because on a given day, like I'm different. My values change from day to day where it's like, beginning of the season, I'm like, I've got all this time. I'm going to go for a big one, or I don't even really care, and I'm just going to film all season. I don't really care about hunting. I just want to film Dad and Ryan and everybody, and I don't really care. And then they've all gotten theirs, and it's like, okay, well, now I think I want one. And then you're like, oh, I'd shoot any deer. any deer's fine. And then you look at a small track, like, bah. You know what I mean? And then you're like, you're, you know, it's such a, I think we fluctuate generally from day to day, you know, and one season I'll be real picky and I only really want a track. I don't really want to run into one, you know, because there's a preferred path that I'd like it to come to me. Mm-hmm. And then other times I'm like, I don't care. And anything that steps out is going to get it as long as it's legal. Right. And you have those value shifts from season to season. And, you know, sometimes you go from more of a sportsman where you're like, you're mostly about giving back and helping other hunters. And you're not necessarily too concerned with shooting one or tagging out in three states or doing any of that. And then other times you're like, I only want a big one. I want a trophy. And, you know, we had a lot of
this
those.
One.
We had a lot, or this one buck, and we had a lot of those conversations too, where, you know, people find themselves in a bit of a rut and they have a bit of a locked perspective about it. You know,
they're discovering where they're at the time.
Yeah,
right, where you are at.
And it's like it's okay if you're a trophy hunter or you're not. And it's like, to, you know, you and I had that walking up to the house, that conversation a little while ago. It's like, there's nothing wrong with being a trophy hunter and just saying it out loud. Like, you just say it. You know what I mean? Most people want a patch on the wall, you know. Yeah. they want that, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's cool. And other people shoot small ones and it's like, that's cool, whatever.
A big bank account can be a trophy, right?
Yeah.
A steak in a frying pan is a trophy.
Yeah,
right.
So you, it's like,
yeah, I took a great picture. Yeah, wonderful, that's a trophy.
And I got an opportunity this year. I got a doe tag.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm excited. And nice. I'm gonna fill it. I've never shot a doe before. Not
nice.
One not necessarily for not because I wouldn't, but mostly lack of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Where we hunt, they don't hand out doe tags to just anybody. So
right.
I ended up winning the lottery on that. So,
nice. So, nice.
And I'm thinking I want to do it with a bow. I think I want to bow hunt a doe, but we'll see. You can do it whatever you want. And if I have an opportunity, I got a rifle, I'll just, you know, dead's dead.
Right.
You know, I'm not all about preferences too much on how I get. If I shoot a giant, I don't care if it's with a muzzle or with a bow, or
right.
If I shoot a doe, I don't care if it's on snow or whatever. I don't really care, as long as we just have a good time hunting. And and we're going to film that. We're going to do that process. And
And there's four or five, you know, pretty decent buck that made it through the season. That,
ooh, yeah.
That were...
A couple good ones.
I'm a little...
He's pissed, for lack of better words.
Well,
there's a couple that he's like, this thing's going to get it.
Because it has put us through hell for like a week. We had two different... pretty big bucks.
Oh,
you know, 230 kind of stuff that just
couple
put
giants.
Us through hell for about a week.
Dragged
straight.
Us through the water. And
and I'm like, we just got to kill this thing just to get even for all the brush that we've had to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, all that bark that went down our throat while we were climbing through
hats
that
getting
garbage.
Ripped off top of your head every 5 seconds.
Oh, my
crawling
God.
Hands and knees through the spruces.
Just that alone.
Oh, we have such a blast.
And there's like two or three, there's three really new areas.
Yeah.
That I haven't been to yet. I haven't even hunted yet. And I'm looking forward to those. And I can do the same thing on those, you know, even though we might've been to the edge of it, right? It's always that land beyond, right?
Yeah.
You're always looking for that land beyond.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of land beyonds.
Everyone's always trying to get to the back.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Even though, like, one of the places that we have in mind that we've never hunted, but we drive by all the time, and we have on the radar for maybe doing that e-scouting, show you the area, go there, put an X on it, pull a buck out of there. That kind of like for that video.
And we'll tell you where that is.
We'll
when
show
the
you,
time comes.
When the time comes, we'll do it on that. And we drive by it every year.
Oh, yeah.
Been driving by it for how long? You've been driving by that for 30 years.
And I've been eyeballing it for
30 years.
And
he goes,
like,
that,
you know,
looks
what?
Good.
I'm going there. I'm not going to look at that mountain one more time without going there.
No need.
I've got to go check it out.
Because it's like,
so
we you drive by good hunting spots all the time. And, they, you know, it's not like the big bucks are only in the back 40.
No, they're everywhere.
And, you know, and that's something that we all kind of have to get out of the back of our heads sometimes, is we have this idea that kind of keeps us back from really having a good hunting experience and really learning stuff and really, you know, putting ourselves to the test and going for something difficult and, you know, trying something new and shaking it up. You know, I think that growth as a hunter is really what brings the enjoyment to deer season. You know, and doing something you've never done, hunting with somebody you've never hunted with before, going to an area, trying a new method, all these little things, kind of just add to your hunting experience as a whole and keeps it fresh and keeps you learning, keeps you growing. Cause if you're not doing that, you don't enjoy deer season as much if you just keep banging the same old thing and,
grinding it.
Yeah, it ends up becoming a little more of just like a habitual thing. You know, and I was talking to, right after you had made that, you dropped that bomb, right? Everyone was like, oh my God, your dad just literally told us where he hunts. And he's like, he just showed it on the map. And it was like, yeah. He's like, and then he showed video. I was like, I know. He's like, aren't you guys worried about all these people like coming in? I was like, well, first of all, it's one of the worst places in the state to hunt. It's terrible. I was like, you look at like our success ratio. I was like, man, you have to hustle. The woods are garbage. I was like, I'll tell you straight up, it sucks hunting there. But it's mostly like nostalgia. It's mostly like habit. You know, it's where we like to go, not necessarily that it's the best place to go. You know, there's some reasons why we pick that and why we hunt it. There is some logic behind it, but most of it is just like just the enjoyment of going there, and it's just a annual trip.
It's an old friend.
Vacation, yeah. And I think one of the things that gets us jazzed up to go back there is also that traveling around, going to new hunting spots, and kind of gives you an appreciation for that, and you learn things. And you kind of have that place down to a T. And other than the cutting and a little bit of the weather mix-up, it really never changes, and they're all in the same spot every single time. And, you know, you pull the big bucks out of the same spot every single time, and it's like, yeah, after a while, it's like, meh. You know, let's do something new and let's have some fun. Let's try something we never tried before.
We've also built some of those deer into legends, right? We've harassed them so much. I don't know if anybody's going to shoot them. Mm-hmm. You could have a billion guys in them woods and you'd be pretty lucky to shoot the damn things.
Two steps probably.
Not to mention, like in the future here, as all those cuts turn into brush,
God.
No one will go there. 10 years from now,
we probably won't go.
We probably won't even want to go there. It's going to be a wall of garbage as far as the eye can see. You know, without snow, it'll be completely impossible or close to it. It's been cut so hard.
But yeah,
like in the future here, one of the things that will be advantageous is that as we build videos, we want to make them like inspirational. I like those better than educational. Great to have a takeaway, but I also like want to have a feeling when I watch something.
What's your favorite video that we've done then?
Well, of course, our channel video right now was kind of like our first good
the deer season 22.
Yeah, you know that one's our first good real inspirational. Is what we do.
I probably watched it 100 times. I love it.
It's really good.
I'm most of the views on that, I think.
And that's what I want to do is make videos that you want to rewatch, which people already are. I mean, there's some people who have our videos memorized, right? So like
pointing to every single deer and naming them,
you know, so and it's good enough so that you do want to binge it, right?
It's a good and I like that one.
That motivational stuff is really what's necessary, almost more than the information, because you'll get the information as you hunt, you'll learn things, right? And you know, you can only pile up so much knowledge. And before it's just a library, and like if you're not putting it to work for you, then you're just gathering knowledge, and that's okay. But at some point, like you got to make it work for you.
I heard an interesting thing. There's like most people know exactly what to do, and they have everything that they need in order to get it done. Like you guys actually know everything you need to know to go shoot a giant. And what a lot of people are actually looking for is, without realizing it, is permission. Where they consume enough and they watch enough to where then they believe it's possible for them, so then they can actually just go do what they already know what to do. And and that motivation and that like getting jazzed up is kind of one of those things where it's not necessarily that we all look for like facts and we look for trends and we look for stuff that's going to like logistically help us do it, but something that actually gets us fired up so that way we want to just go actually do it, you know. And that's when I go back and like right before deer season, the stuff that I watch from our channel is I watch The Captain. I watched that video where Jeff's talking about shooting the captain. That's one of my favorite videos.
Both sides.
Yeah. 10 feet. I love that video. That cracks his hat going.
Yeah.
That one cracks me up. I've been watching the deer season 22. I watched that one a ton just because that is exactly like how a great deer season goes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also a reflection of who you are.
Yeah.
Right. Which is another, that's another beauty of like all these channels is you get to see yourself. Most people want to see themselves. So it's good that you start a channel or that you film yourself or your buddies, right?
At least record it and watch it back.
That's right. And watch it back, you know, for yourself someday, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to do that. And, just the other day here, last night I was going through some of the VHS stuff.
Oh my God.
My first kill I ever got on film, Donnell shooting a doe with his bow.
We'll put that up on the throwback channel. We're going to start getting those going.
Right. You know, and both of us, we're so young. We're like in our early 20s, right?
That's awesome.
And we're swearing. And like, it was not really designed
to be watched by the public.
But. Yeah. That giant Zoom that just goes in 100 miles an hour and you lose.
And it's all like shaky cam.
Oh my God. Right. Some of the stuff that we did, right?
That was 30 years ago. Cut yourself some slack.
And we thought we were something back then, right? Right. And it was just like, what an amazing thing. And that's the thing. You learn where you are.
You get to watch yourself grow.
Yeah.
That's, I think.
You know, where you are at the time, not only in person and place and in thing, but also like at what stage you are. That where is so important. And it's going to be really exciting. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it.
We'll share some more of that. We've been digging into the tapes. And I don't know, you probably can't even see it on camera right now, but over on, in the background here, I got some of the photos and some of the videos, like thumbnails. I put them up on the shop. So we do the changing of the photos every year where we take last season's like good highlight moments and we put them up in the shop and we have them all blown up, big pictures, and we get to look at them for the remainder of the year. And the one that we have over on the wall by itself is the actual thumbnail from the deer season 22. That was one that was you and me first day. We went up and we climbed up over the overlook and you were just staying there. So I just picked up the camera and, then took that photo and, you know, really, really took those things, and really hit save. You know, I do my
It'll
best.
It'll really be some meaning later on.
I do my best to, you know, just stand there every now and then and just really take a moment in, you know, especially when we wait so long for deer season. You know, I had this conversation with a lot of people because we take the photos. We took the photos to the show and we just kind of had like this kind of just big show wall booth where we had all of our gear and all of our photos up and just so we could talk about deer season. And, I hung all those photos up for the booth and people were like, wow, those are really good photos. And I was like, yeah, everybody's got really good photos, but no one ever like prints them and they never really hang them up. And, you know, we all, you know, it's one thing to take videos and take a million pictures, but it's one thing to like go back and actually look at them. So one of the things that we always do is, we pick some of the photos and some of the videos and we just go back and rewatch them and we look at them and I print big photos up because, you know, we all love deer season so much and it means so much to us and we wait so long for it. And it's like, why are we not hanging these photos up? You know, cause a photo on the wall, I encourage all of you to like maybe, print up a photo of a buddy with his buck and like give it to him as a gift. It's an unbelievably rewarding thing is to give the gift of somebody's hunt back to them. And that's one of the reasons why I put so much time and my energy into making videos for you guys and also making them back for the people who lived it. Know, so like Ryan goes out and shoots a buck and he records it and I make that into a video with him in mind, you know, and I try to take his life experience that he just went through and just put it into a medium where he can just go back and relive it, you know, because that's always been one of my big motivations for deer season is to capture it and to really like gather it all up because, you know, it goes by like that. It flies by, you know, it really does. And especially it flies by quicker for most people. I'm sure for you guys, not all of you get to hunt as long as we get to hunt. So it's like, you really have to just focus on having a good time, focus on kind of capturing it. And then, you know, give the gift back out. If somebody shoots a buck, take a photo, have it printed for them, give it to them for Christmas or something. You want to see somebody smile big. Mm-hmm. You give them a photo of their buck, or if they get it mounted, we always hang a photo underneath the deer that we get, you know, it's like who was there when you got that.
What was going on?
The people, the people in the hunt is always more the most important thing for us. And, you know, as much as we hope you guys get a big one, we actually care more about you than we care about the deer that you get. And that's one of the things we've always tried to jazz each other up with deer seasons because the people matter and, you know, you matter as a hunter and the story is about you. It's not about the deer as much.
Yeah. And in the day and age of everything, just eating up all your time and people just wanting you all the time and you're pulled in 1,000 directions.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to look forward to just shutting everything off and go back out and be yourself for a little while. Where you're calm, cool, and collected. Right. And I always looked at deer season as time to get your knots out.
Oh,
and
yeah, to work
you
all
go
your
out
kinks.
There and just get everything straightened out and whatnot. And of course, the best way to do that is like just with those people you want to and yourself.
Lone time.
And as soon as you start having tons of people, it just changes all that dynamic and it's not the same anymore. So
yeah,
we want to try and keep our deer season the way it is and as much as to that we can and we're able, even though we know also that things change over time and nothing stays the same. So that's going to change up. And you got to keep that in mind when you're going about all this, is that it may not be forever and it may not be this way and it may not be in this place. And so, you know, be prepared for that stuff. And this is the best way to do it, even though, you know, life's short.
Yeah. So if you're,
if a deer's a deer,
if you're going to hunt, go be there, go have a blast, you know, and really just pour yourself into it, you know? And that's one of the things that we always try to do every season.
But pretty much where we're going with this is that we want to be there for people to give them a hand a little bit and, share some stuff with them. And if it helps you out and you have a great time and it helps deer out and it helps hunting out and it helps society out and it helps you, especially in your personal sides of hunting, that's where it's at for us. And we like to do that. You know, so many people, you know, sharing stuff with us has been so rewarding, and we want to keep doing that back to you guys. And we also have some adventures we want to go on and we want to share with you, and we've got some plans and we'll see how it all pans out.
I've been trying to get this dude somewhere else. I've been trying to drag Dad outside of New England. Like, let's go. And of course it's, you know, we're so busy all the time. I think we still got, looking at the wall, 100 just deer heads to do. Just 100. And then there's everything else. All the fish, all the moose, all the bears. And
I think we're done on moose.
Are you
and
done?
I'm done a lot of bears. A lot of the bears are done.
Turkeys?
And
well, you had, turkeys. You had this year's, but those will be done.
Right. We have some turkeys that we got to rip into next. And and just keep right on going. But like, I just been pounding all summer and like, I can't work any harder than I'm currently working. I can't do any more than I currently am. And I'm just going to keep slaving and I love doing it.
It's been such a weird year. And I think that's one of the reasons that everyone was so excited to go to Huntstock and why we're all jazzed up.
And it didn't rain while we were there.
I can't believe it didn't rain. It hasn't done anything but rain this year. And
oh my God.
I think the lack of a real summer, and everybody's been working and so focused on working so hard, that it's like deer season's going to be like when the bell rings for recess and all the kids just take off from class. I think that's what deer season's going to be like. As soon as they ring the gong for like bow seasons, all these people are just going to be gone.
The tension too. There's like this worldwide people tension. Just busyness. Crazy.
Yeah. I think we all need a reset. I think deer season is going to be an unbelievable reset. And we just want to get you guys jazzed. We want to get everybody started off on the right foot so you can really take advantage of the time that you have and the time that you can set aside to hunt and make sure that you have the best and most fruitful deer season that you have ever had. That's what our 23 season is going to be, is we're just going to have a blast. We're going to shoot some good ones.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to have a good time, and we're going to do some really good videos, and we want to make what you guys want to see too. So like, anytime you guys have a suggestion for a video, if there's just general stuff you want to see that like we haven't shown, because one of the things that's always hard when it comes to making videos is trying to decide what's going to be boring for you guys and what isn't. Mm-hmm. So like, there's a lot of like little stuff that, you know, we just don't normally show because maybe we don't think it's anything special. But if there's stuff you guys want to watch, stuff you want to see, stuff that's not necessarily literally on the track or deer hunting specific, you know, if there's more stuff like more shooting stuff and more gear stuff, or there's more camp life stuff, or there's more vehicle stuff, or more just shop stuff, like whatever you guys want to see, you just let us know, and we'll make some more videos. We have such a blast doing it.
Yep.
You know, we really do. And we want to make sure that you guys have fun. We want to make something that's watchable for you guys.
Yep.
And we're looking forward to it. I can't wait. It seems like it's ripping by. I'm trying not to speed things up any faster than they're already going, but it's end of August right now. And, you know, bow season's right around the corner. And
Dad's been doing some editing. Crazy.
The videos that are for... This will be interesting. I wonder if this will...
Because Dad's been doing stuff.
Dad's been editing. So Dad's been making videos for you guys, and the stuff that we're going to show on the 16th for the afternoon seminar, that's all Dad's work. So we'll get to... Anyone who gets to go to that, you guys are going to see stuff that... It's video that we all took, but Dad is the one who did all the editing for it. So it'll be you guys will have to be able to score him, and we'll have a little editing war, him and me, because he's good. I mean, you were the original editor for us.
I do okay.
You do a good job.
I'm slowly getting the hang of the iMovie thing, and right.
He's not using the big guns yet. We're working on him.
And that's the other thing we heard about at Huntstock was like, you know, our editing style, and everybody really likes that part. And that's the part where everyone's different, and everyone makes different stuff, and that's the cool part about it.
I like watching some other. I get inspired by watching how somebody does things differently. Mm-hmm. You know, I pull my inspiration from.
It's good stuff.
From non-hunting stuff quite often. But yeah, so it'd be fun to see you guys get to see what dad's been clinking. Every now and then he'll call me and be like, how do you get the video to do this, or how do you export that, or how do I change my volume? And it'll be fun. So you've been doing a good job. I can't wait to. I watched some of them, and they're pretty good. So it'll be fun. It's gonna be a good time. Yeah, September 16th, guys. Click for more info. We're going to be there. It's going to be such a fun afternoon. We're going to have the gang here, and we're going to talk deer hunting, and we're going to give you guys the inside dirt, the inside scoop on what we've learned in the last 10 years of hunting, and really hopefully we can put a big buck in the back of your truck this season, or a small one, whatever. It'll probably be a small one. For me, anyway.
Never know.
For me, it'll be a little one. Pow!
I don't know. I've shot my share of little ones, that's for sure. Yeah. I'm not done yet, so.
Yeah. So it'll be a good time. So if you guys want to go to that, it'll probably sell out pretty quick. And if you guys really wanted, we would do a second one too, because sometimes that date might not work for other people. And if there's some people who want another one, we'll do our best.
Right.
You know, we really want to be able to help you guys out. And
we have such a
fun time meeting you and talking to you guys that we need to do more of this stuff. So we decided that.
And appreciate everybody reaches out to us and gives us suggestions and all that kind of stuff, you know, responds to the podcast or any of the comments on YouTube and stuff like
Instagram.
That. It is such, it's such gold, and we love to have it, you know, and we don't mind the criticism either. I'd like to hear that too. I like to hear all of it, you know, and it is what it is, you know, and we're open to all kinds of things, and that's how you can grow, I guess. So that's what we've been sticking to.
Any suggestions for where I try to drag dad outside of New England? You guys can definitely. Where do you think we should go hunting? We'll do a drop Rodney in the middle of the woods challenge. You guys pick an X, and we'll go put dad there, see if he can kill a deer. We'll put you to the test.
Yeah, pick a state.
Pick a
spot.
Pick a country.
Downtown Concord, New Hampshire, right?
With a knife.
Yeah,
it'll be like Clue. Rodney Elmer, Western Mass, with a muzzleloader, no boots. You gotta go out there barefoot.
Come on now.
Subscriber hunting challenge. You guys pick what dad does, and I'll film it.
Oh my god.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Yep. Thank you so much for everyone who came out to Huntstock. We look forward to seeing everyone who can make it here for the 16th in September. And thank you so much for listening. If you have any suggestions stuff, you can always send that to the podcast email, or hit us up on YouTube or whatever. Email the shop, whatever you want to do, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Yep.
Take care, everybody.
So long.
Happy hunting.
Happy hunting.